All right, you ready?
Wait, I don't think it recorded. Try it again.
Oh, you ready?
Yeah.
I took a job as the head of...
You better not take a job.
No, it was the head of Old McDonald's farm. I'm the C-I-E-I-O.
C-I-E... Wait, you're with a what?
Old McDonald had a farm. E-I-E-I-O.
And on this farm, he had a
pig. You passed it. No, stop. We're done. We're done. We're done.
Welcome to Intermission, a show about anything and everything band-related, proving that band is fun. My name's Kim Shuttlesworth.
And I'm Riaz Muhammad.
In today's episode of April Showers Brings May Stress, we'll talk about our final UIL prep.
All right.
Happy Monday.
It's Friday.
I know.
I just found, I think he's in a little bit of depression right now because as we were setting things up, I just found your gray hair.
Oh.
He has one very silvery hair that has appeared.
Joke's on everybody listening because they can't see it.
That's true.
So you're lying.
Am I though?
No, it's new. Should I be worried?
It's not like you're getting married and going to contest and all the things.
No.
Can we really quickly talk about your wedding cake now?
No.
We can't talk about it?
No, not yet.
Why?
Not yet. Maybe. We're not doing cake anymore.
Yes.
It's going to be so good. There's a former Bowie parent who lives in Austin who owns a pie shop called Pie Bar.
So that's my plug. You should go.
Yeah, it's good. You should go.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in Central Texas, I think it's like South First Street and William Cannon. I can't remember where exactly,
sure.
But you should go. It is totally worth it.
Right.
Coming from a fat kid. Go.
Stop.
It's good. What, you want me to lie to the people?
No. He calls me, or no, he texts me and he says, yeah, we're not going to do cake. No.
Even though that morning, so we went to Austin last weekend to do wedding things. And the first stop on Saturday morning was cake tasting. And we tasted the cake and I'm like, oh, this is all right. I guess this is what cake is supposed to be. Wedding cake, whatever. Here's your deposit. Hold the date. Let's go. And then that later that afternoon, we found our way to South Austin. And I was like, hold on. Remember that pie place? Let's go. And we went, sat down, started eating. And I was like, nope. Cut the cord. We're done with cake.
I think it's a great way. I like it because it's a different.
Yes.
It's a different thing. And you always are one that's like, okay, whatever. Let's do it this way. And I think that's going to be a lot of fun.
I had to bring some home to convince my mom.
Mm.
So.
I heard that I needed to look over seating arrangements.
Yes.
She asked me if you had shared the document with me yet, and I said no, not yet.
I don't even have the document. / I just haven't checked to see if I have the document.
Yeah, you've got it. Because she's like, have you looked over that yet? And I was like, no. I said, but don't worry. We've been very busy.
No, we haven't. What have we been doing this week? Sitting around?
Yeah, that's what we've been doing.
What have we been doing this week?
Having lots of conversations.
Middle school pre-IL was Wednesday.
It was.
Normal sectional week. I feel it's Friday and I just feel so beat up.
Yeah, but we're hosting NTCA all weekend.
Yeah. Oh, we hosted middle school pre-IL too.
Yeah.
On Wednesday. So we had to build a stage setup and move risers and all the things.
Yeah. Bring the piano off and on and off and on and off and on. Yeah, different things like that. So it's been a busy week around here. Both physically and educationally. We thought today we would talk a little bit about, because a lot of questions sometimes I get, and I know Riaz gets too, is like, what is in your final preparation of those last moments or those last weeks of cleaning, whether it be for a performance or for a recording or something like that? And I know everyone has a way that they like to do it, but we thought we would share our way a little bit and kind of talk through maybe the struggles we find even in the journeys of what we're trying to do, but also some success about what happened. So I just kind of wanted to start with that, if you're cool.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, so right now I record twice a week in my sessions with the kids, my classes. And from that, I listen to it a couple of times, and then I listen to it against my score, and then I build into things that we're going to do by class. And so I have this little journal that I keep with me. And like, for instance, so we talked about last time, Amanda Drinkwater gave us the do something on a different, like play within the keyboard.
Oh, yeah. You're like
that you're
Remingtons
doing
or something.
So, but also we have this, explain what is here right now.
So a while back, one of the music companies sent us like a little swag bag box of stuff, and there's like a 12-sided die, but it's a giant foam thing that I guess Joe Alessi has put together. Mm-hmm. And on each side of it has a different letter that corresponds to a key. So you can literally roll the dice, and whatever it lands that's facing on top is the key you pick, whether that's scale or some sort of exercise. Mm-hmm. So what's the genius idea that you just had?
I am going to come into class today, and I'm going to throw it up in the air. I'm going to let it fall, and I'm going to say, all right, G flat or whatever it is, and make them do their warm up. What I changed about something. So yes, we do the Remington and the different keys now, but have you heard me play the chorale lately?
No.
So I make them play the chorale in the key that we're working on. So they have to transpose.
Whoa,
I've been making
cool.
them. I've been making, and I'm making the transposition easy for them, like because it's in E flat. So I'm like, okay, we're gonna go to E natural. So it's just a half step difference, you know, or we're going to go to D. It's a, you know, whatever that is for them. And so I give them just about 30 seconds to a minute to review the short chorale. You know, the easiest part is it's a scale for a third of them because it's own, their part is bass, and it just does the scale by whole notes all the way up and then all the way down. It's the other people. But all they have to do is know reference of the last key and then put it in the new key and understand the what is accidental versus what is real within the key. And they've done pretty well. Concert C was tough. But they actually did fine on concert D for the most part, and concert E. I haven't even done concert F on that yet, but it's just things. So right now, like in my I give, and I know Riz does it his own way, but I give a UIL. It's called the UIL Lesson Plan Guide. And basically, it just lets the students know what to be prepared for each day. It doesn't go into a lot of details. It just lets them know that they need to rehearse, blah.
Yeah.
And as we get closer and closer, that thing breaks down a little bit more. So, like, for instance, I did a woodwind sectional this week on Tuesday. So I wrote out for myself small group work first, because Firebird has so many chamber-style things, right? So I split my time of saying, these guys come in first where I can spend time with them and clean up the really intimate moments in the score. And then I would let them know, like I put to myself, we need to go straight to the variation. I need to clean up the lines that are important versus the lines that are not. And then the flute, like I put, we were having a little bit of issue in the flute and one piccolo call and response. They were playing it well, but it just wasn't the rhythm
vertically aligned
in what needed to happen. And then like the solo clarinet was good, but it was overpowering.
Yeah.
And so just trying to get it to complement more. And then I would like at a different time, 25 minutes later, the next group of people, it was just all flutes and clarinets. And so that's how I'm utilizing my sectionals and even my class time. Mm. That's not full ensemble with percussion is how can I work smarter and get the details in. So like yesterday was an eventful day because I started with, because we were in the ensemble room, so we didn't have percussion. I started with one on a part. So I said, the principal player of each part, you stay. Everyone else goes and works on something they're not good at. You know, because that at that point you have, what, a third?
Your strongest players.
A third. And basically I said, if we can't get you clean, we can't get anything clean. And so, like, yesterday I went, what was yesterday? Thursday? Oh, my Wednesday. Look at what all I did on
That's
Wednesday.
That's a lot of writing.
That was just class. That wasn't even after school. And then, so Thursday, I started with Firebird, and then I told that group what we needed to check and clarify, which was check expression, because it wasn't expressive enough, and then check clarity and balance, which was, again, what Mr. Drinkwater said was like the low lights, right? Get them really out of the way. And then the brass articulation alignment, just make sure everyone's doing the same thing. So I got one on a part situated, right? And then I would move on to the next part, you know, and I get all the way through trying to clean up stuff. And I didn't do a ton of letters. I only got 10 squares, 24 to 34, right? Mm-hmm. And then 45 minutes later, everyone else came in. And I know a lot of people don't have that long of a class. I get it. But this, I'm telling you what we're doing. And then I brought everyone else in. And so I went back to 24. And I let everyone hear what we had cleaned. And then I said, you have to fit inside this sound, right? And when we hear dirt, have you been talking? Talk. Oh, no, you're good. Yeah, it's just because you're not talking.
Sorry. Sorry to interrupt. I was looking at the time, and I thought it said 1 minute. I was like, are we not recording? Anyway, sorry. Keep going.
Okay, we're recording. So anyhow, I went back and did exactly what I did with the previous group.
Yeah.
While the previous group might have thought, oh, you know, a lot of people are like, why am I doing this again? But I basically told them their responsibility was to be the example. And then I put to try to talk about ownership and accountability, because that's something we talked with them about this week.
Yep.
I said, I'm going to ask you, is someone around you not playing like you? And if they are, you're going to tell them either A, how to fix it, or to not play, essentially. And I don't ever like cutting kids off the part, but at some point we have to be accountable to each other that, you know, either I don't know it and I need help, or I'm not going to practice it. So I'm, you know, I'm not, I don't want them to affect other members that are putting in more effort.
I think it's funny how we don't really talk about our individual plans a lot for our classes, but I think it's interesting that we're really aligned in the way we're doing things right now.
I literally, because we haven't talked about it at all.
No. I literally had that conversation with my kids yesterday in after school rehearsal. Like, at some point, guys, we have to be accountable for our parts. So if the person sitting next to you isn't putting in the work or constantly fracking notes or playing out of tune, you should probably say something to them at this point, because that's where we are.
It's not, and I think it is, that I get that you don't want to be mean. It's not mean.
No.
You know, and I get that, but it only works. I will say this. It only works if you have trained those people to understand what is right and wrong. And, you know, the band got significantly better yesterday, and I had to make tough decisions. You know, I would say, like, okay, from this block to this block, let me have the one on a part for a second. All right, everybody try to fit in. And then if it didn't sound the same, I said, okay, we're just going to have one on a part right here. And that's what I went to, you know. And then I tried to explain, like, because, you know, Firebird can get really loud if you don't watch out. And, you know, most advice is, can make sure you can still keep it soft. And so you have to remember that it's a transcription. And so when you go back to the original, you know, you got one trumpet player on the first part, second, third. And but then when you transfer what the violin parts are, or the viola parts, or the cello parts are to the instruments, you have to realize that those instruments are way louder than those strings, you know, because they can be, you know, a string can go so far as, you know, as loud as the bow and weight and things like that.
Yeah,
take
they can
it.
Only play so loud.
Correct. And so this is, it was one of those things, like in certain sections, I was like, this isn't actually forte for y'all. This is forte for the string section.
Yep.
So this is probably mezzo piano, mezzo forte for you. So we don't need all of this noise. And so it just started to really kind of clean up a little bit when I tried to describe it that way.
Yeah, talking to my non-varsity group, it's like we've been talking about the same things. Fortissimo does not mean fortissimo because there are 32 people playing the melody, whether that's a tone color or the predominant line. So you don't need to worry about playing fortissimo. You're in the upper register. Let the register do the work. Play it mezzo forte. The airspeed doesn't change. So with us, it's just been trying to lock into those small details. The accountability thing that I just talked about, that's something we've been talking about. But like going back to my warm-up for the non-varsity band. So I talked about that four Scottish dances.
Mm-hmm.
Going through keys. So every day since pre-UIL, we start our warm-up. We don't do Remington. Mm-hmm. We just do long tones in different scales. So I just turn the Met on 60. Well, let me pause. Here's what I'm doing. I'm combining the techniques that they need for Aurora Wakes. So mm-hmm. that is the long tones, making the note steady as we move.
Right.
Combined with the different key signatures for four Scottish dances. And I just need them to be able to hear that. So I'll turn the Met on like 60 or 70. And they play each scale in whole notes, ascending and descending. They're not allowed to go past a mezzo piano. And the higher they go, the softer they should play. And they need to listen for tuning of each note. And I'll have like, we'll progress from E major to A flat major, half step each time. And they get like a whole note or a whole rest in between each mm-hmm. key. And they've gotten really comfortable with that. It's not great because our worst keys right now are G flat and A. Just it's they're just not doing hot on it right now. So we've done a couple things to fix it. But now I've trying to kind of change that up a little bit where I have them number down the row, 1, 2, 3, and they do the scalar exercise in a round. So group one will start, all the ones will start, and they're not sitting next to each other. So that builds ensemble listening skills.
Right.
In terms of blend. So group one will start, and then when group one gets to the third of the chord, that's when group two will start on the root of the chord, and they play the scale up at the same time. And then when group one keeps going, when group two gets to the third note, the group three will start. So by the time group three starts, you hear the major chord ascending and descending all the way down. So it's just trying to get them to play comfortably in those different keys. So that's how we always start our warm-up in this last week. Then I'll also pick some sort of technique thing out of the fundamentals book that we use.
Mm-hmm.
Just working on, and before we do each exercise, I pick like three things that I say, these are the three things you focus on. Here is consistency of articulation. What is your syllable? Think about the space between the note. Ready, go. And we do that kind of thing. And then depends on the day if I'm feeling a little bit spicy or not. I'll tell the kids, hey, pick a number.
Uh-huh.
So they pick a number. We'll turn to whatever exercise that is in the book, and we play it. And you get 30 seconds to read. So it kind of helps build and reinforce the sight reading concept because,
right.
You know, that's a thing that's coming too, which...
I haven't started that. I should start it.
I mean... I feel guilty that I didn't start it till yesterday with the non-varsity group, and they were. It says, "I'm trying to not be arrogant, but I threw a 6 in front of them, and they're like, they just read it, and I was like, oh, okay, you'll be fine."
Yeah, I will start sight reading next week by sight reading my spring concert music.
Oh, we also did that too. I had one of the student teachers do it.
Did you? How'd
like,
it go?
Yeah, I don't want to do this right now. Here, you read this with them. It was fine. It was Evan's Horizons Untold. They like it.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah, it's good. It's flashy. A couple of them played it with Katie Van Doren and the Region Band, though.
Yeah.
Like, you guys mind if we do this again? No, we like it. Okay, cool.
There you go. Evan Van Doren music.
Yeah. Shameless plug. So that's been warm up for them. As far as covering actual class material, it's. This week, I will say, has been really hard because, like yesterday, I was missing 17 kids.
I thought it was 15.
It was 15 in class, but after school, it was 17 because they had other things to do. And we've had the conversation about you don't communicate.
Yeah.
That. Yeah.
We struggled with that this week, guys.
Because I know no one else is having that problem.
Sometimes we talked about sometimes we feel ineffective.
Yeah.
But it's okay. We don't need to get down and gloom about it. But
no, it's just fixing the problem is all it is.
It's right.
Yeah. Anyway, that's a whole different. I feel like that's a whole different conversation.
It is, but not today.
But we have multiple groups and organizations within the school leave on trips.
Mm-hmm.
This week, like HOSA is out and TSA is out doing something literally from Tuesday to Friday. So for me, that has been the struggle trying to figure out what I can get done with all these kids missing. Because like yesterday, I had no oboes. I had one bassoon. And one of those movements in four Scottish dances is double reed bass.
Oh, no.
I'm like, okay, time to switch the lesson plan. Yep.
Speaking of that, I should have shared my memory on Facebook because the other day when I did four Scottish dances back in 2014, was it 14 or 15? It was 15.
15, just kidding.
It was the spring. And it was on the whiteboard. I took a picture and I said, name that tune. And Drill got it first. He's like, that's four Scottish dances. But I was like, maybe I should share with him my clean sheet for that.
Yes.
I have a cleaning sheet for that.
You send that over now.
Okay.
So, yes, I also, like you, I also record my classes pretty frequently, but I haven't been able to do that this week.
Why?
So,
oh, because you're
missing,
not kids.
Missing children. It doesn't make sense.
That's right. I haven't had my second, my solo clarinet two yet. So
I'm a little worried about that going into next week, only because that's kind of, I don't want to say my crutch, but that is the thing that has helped me the most at this time of the year, with like the final push into UIL. But lately what we've been doing is, like you said, addition through subtraction. Like if you can't play the part, hold your neighbor accountable, work on it. You need to work on this specific concept, this specific thing. Here's the tempo marking. Come back tomorrow and play it for me.
I will say this. I have not necessarily cut a ton as much as I've modified.
I haven't cut a ton either.
I've modified.
Yeah.
Like, just do this instead to try to help it out.
Yep. Instead of playing the 16th, I want you to play the 8th notes. The person sitting next to you, use the 8th notes to anchor your 16th notes. Tips and tricks here and there.
Just try to get it done when you have to do that. Yeah. But, you know, a lot of people are like, then why are you playing the music? Well, because 85-90% of the ensemble deserves to play it. And then you've got to, yes. You have to grow your kids.
You teach to every child.
Right, but you don't dismiss the technique that they need. You have to put it in different ways to help them still be beneficial for themselves and feel good about what they're doing in the product. So it's a thin line sometimes you got to figure out, but I think we do that fairly well here.
Yeah. And with the second band, here's a good example. We talk about accountability pretty frequently, at least in this last week for sure. And yesterday after school, we were doing our march and I went down the row. Nope, not the same. Nope, not the same. And nothing matched between my trombones, baritones, and tubas. So I said, okay, who wants to take responsibility? Nobody looks up. I go, really? No one? So one of the sophomore trombone players raises his hand. I go, okay, here's your task. You guys need to get together. You're going to tell me when you're meeting. Here are the concepts that I need you to work on. You're going to do this one by one. Here's your tempo marking. And when it's the same, record it, send it to me, and I'm going to listen to it in class by Friday next week. He's like, okay, we'll get it done. I go, great.
Wonderful.
Yeah. So that's been a bulk of the non-varsity band. With the sub-non-C, it has been a different beast this year.
Why don't you just start asking? Because you've asked me what to do.
I don't even know what to ask at this point. I wish I was being dramatic, and maybe I am, but the hardest part is, well, as everybody knows, like a lot of those kids are the younger kids, and a lot of them, especially the freshmen, started on the screen. So the thing that I've started to realize is that because they started on the screen in their own, like, 6x6 room or whatever. That's a really small room. That's more of a cell. But 10x10 room, they were programmed early on to be individual players. And I feel like with that fourth band, that's the thing that I'm fighting the most, because we don't do things the same. Like on every piece that they're playing, I had them write same. Mm-hmm. And I say, find the brightest color you can find, highlight it, circle it, whatever, same. That's the word these last 2 weeks. And in that, no pun intended, in that same breath, it's hard to get them to be consistent every single day.
Well, that you're talking mainly about the Granger.
No.
No?
No.
Because I've only really heard the Granger.
Because I've been trying to beat it into them.
Okay.
Granted, they're doing okay.
Okay, do you want to know what I'm going to do in my class today that maybe you should do?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Okay.
With the sub non-C?
Yeah, with okay. any class. I'm okay. going to do it with the Wind Symphony.
Okay.
I'm going to tell them to come in and sit anywhere they want.
I was going to do that today.
Are you
yeah. I need you to listen. So sit wherever.
Yeah, you're going
to
sit anywhere you want. We are so on the same wavelength today.
We're also
dressed the exact same way today.
Yeah. Twins.
You complete me.
Stop.
Professionally. That was awkward. Sorry.
Anyway. It's only awkward if you make it awkward. It's anyway.
True. And so, I mean, but the rule is they can't sit to anyone they were sitting next to previously.
Yeah, okay.
Right. And try to not sit next to your same instrument if possible.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to run most of the class that way. I'm just going to start in and I'm going to start cleaning what I need to clean and have them really hear what is happening around them. And the people it's happening to, and then try to get them to lock in to, like, I'll say, find these two people and see if I can lock them in a little bit more from an ensemble standpoint. And then maybe like the last 30 minutes of class, I'll put it back together and see what it's going to sound like. Just because when you put them in something that they're uncomfortable in, they become more alert.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're, you know, it's just like, when, you know, she told us last week, you know, make them feel uncomfortable in it so they pay more attention. I think that's where we are now with what we need to do is to put them in a place where they don't feel super comfortable. Not as a punishment, but as a learning experience for them to be able to be like, okay, she told me I have to hear a trumpet, but there are no trumpets anywhere near me now. Like, where is the next trumpet I can listen to? Or where's the next trombone I can listen to? Oh, it's sitting right next to me. Let me hear what she's really talking about. You know, I think that is the next step in us understanding. And then I'm going to turn the men off and make them do it together without me. Not going to stand in front of them.
That's what I've been doing.
You know.
On and off, I'm not conducting you. You don't need me.
No.
No.
Yeah. So I'm doing that today. Maybe I really think you should do it on your Granger.
Okay.
If anything, the Granger is the most important one I think you should do it on.
I haven't really done that a whole lot, the moving chair thing with that fourth band. With the second band, my thought was to do that today because what I've been doing is putting them by like parts. Mm-hmm. So, like, for four Scottish, the euphoniums and the horns and the saxes share parts.
Mm-hmm.
So my horns have been sitting in front of my youths have been sitting in front of the horns, but it's not getting better the way I want it to be better. So I want it to be a little bit more detailed with that approach. So mm-hmm. that was the thought, is just everybody switches chairs.
Yeah.
Force you to be better.
Well, and it forces you to be aware and listening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's important. I, as we were talking and as you were talking, I looked over and I saw, guys, I made a mistake this week. Last week I decided that it would be best that on my podium during concerts I have.
I had no idea what you were talking about. Okay.
Yeah.
Here we go. This is good.
I was like, oh my gosh, there's so many tempo changes for my brain right now that I just need to have every tempo change in front of me where I can see it, right? So I get online and I get on Amazon and I'm quickly like trying to find metronomes, right? And I don't need super expensive ones. I just need ones that will tap the tempo that I need, right? And so I am searching, and then I find one that's like $10. And I was like, oh, great, I'll just buy this one. And I said, but I need like five or six of them. So I bought you know, five. Yeah, I bought five.
You need new batteries. It doesn't turn on.
Hold it down.
Oh.
This is what we just learned last time. Remember?
Keep going.
Anyhow, so it says that they're going to come in or whatever. And so over the weekend, they came in. And I thought, man, this is a big, I saw the box and I thought, oh, this is, yeah, this is going to be right because this is decent size. But then I picked up the box. It was quite light. And I was like, what? Why is this light? So I open it up and I was like, what are these things? Like, I couldn't figure out what it was because it was in a little compartment. And so then I decided to bring him into Ria's because I feel like a stupid idiot. And I told Riaz the story. And then, just so you guys understand, a normal metronome is about 3 inches by 3 inches. Mm. Or 3.5.
How big is this one?
1 inch by 2 inch.
They're the size of my thumb.
They are. I didn't read very carefully. And then I looked. And then I couldn't read the directions because they were all in a different language.
It was Chinese.
It was. And I didn't know how to read it. And they have a clip on them, and it definitely says mini on my order.
It looks like one of those blood oxygen monitor things you get hooked up to by the doctor.
Yes. This was Monday morning, me sharing this information with him.
Hold on. If you're an avid listener, I'm going to take a photo right now during this
session
and post it. Sorry.
And so I take him out just to show Riaz. And I was like, they don't even come with batteries. He's like, you idiot. It's right here. And it's one of those circular battery things. And then I couldn't figure out. And he's like, I can't figure out how to put it in because I can't read the instructions about where it goes. So I finally found the pictures. And it's been a laughing joke. So on my podium, I put them on there on Monday.
Uh-huh.
And this jerk turns them all on, and they're so loud. To turn it on and show how loud it is.
Okay, I'm holding it at arm's length from the microphone, which is probably like 4 feet.
It's so loud.
This sucker's loud for a tiny.
So he offsets them all.
Yeah, let's do it right now.
No.
Yeah, come on. We're having fun.
He offsets them all. And I'm trying to like get ready for class, and all of a sudden I hear this boo ti ti boo ti ti boo ti 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 boo ti 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 ti. Yes.
And then at one point, so you turned them off, and at one point you left the room.
And he turned them back on.
And left. I will say I'm really proud of myself because before you bought these, I went and dug through our little drawer and got my four metronomes and programmed them for specific tempos, and you're. And then you're like, hey, can I use these? And I was like, yeah, that's fine. It's just a metronome. And then I went back to class the next day and tried to use them. They're all different tempos. I was like, God.
Oh, because I used them after your concert.
Yeah, on stage.
On stage for our pre-UIO. I saw he had all his metronomes. I was like, oh, I could really use those today. And so he's walking off. I was like, can I use your metronomes? Just leave them there. He's like, oh, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, thanks, Robert Herrings.
Yeah, that's a Robert Herrings way, I guess. Yeah. And so anyhow, so I sent a picture to him and I told him, and he was like, oh my God, you should send that to him right now.
I'm doing that right now.
And be like, these are the meds you got.
Here are blood oxygen monitors.
Yeah. But anyhow, that was the funny story. I mean, we cackled about it for a very long time on Monday. So if anyone's out there and they need some mini metronomes, it just clips to your lapel, you know?
There's a like a headphone jack I just saw, so I'm gonna check that here in a second. See what it's
and
like.
See what it does.
Yeah.
So anyhow, that was the funny for the week.
It was I when I tell you I almost peed my pants when you showed it to me.
I saved it because I was gonna send you a picture when I first found what it was, but I was like, you know what? I'm gonna let him unbox them. So I. You just started cackling the very minute that it came out.
And not, obnoxious laughter echoing through the band hall.
Slovak's like, what are you guys doing again?
Yeah.
Having good time?
So this reminds me of a quick story. There were a couple of years ago, we went to TMEA and that Japanese group.
Yes.
The high
little
school.
Metronome?
Clack. Yes.
Clack.
So it had like a little, it was one of the If you're there, you know what I'm talking about. It was one of the like old school metronomes with the arm that sways back and forth, but mm-hmm. at the top of it was a light. Mm-hmm. So like the conductor will turn that on the podium and walk away, and they're responsible for the warm-up. And
right.
magical. Magic happens. So I was working with Garth Gunderson at the time. He was so adamant. I want this. We're mm-hmm. going to do this, and it's going to be great. So he looks everywhere for this thing. Couldn't find it.
Finally, they're all online now.
But finally finds one, and he orders it. And it's like this little 3-inch
no,
thing.
No, it's not. It wasn't the big one?
No!
See, sometimes we miss instructions.
And poor guy, I laughed at him about that all semester.
So now your other one, your yeah. other boss does the same thing.
Yeah, so. Oh, good times.
You know what? I hope you order something mini. And not realize that it's mini.
No, I'm good.
I almost ordered mini pencils, but I was like, oh, this is not good.
For what? Look how giant my hands are.
I don't know why I did it. Because I didn't want to sharpen them all the time. It's
what logic is that?
It would be the least amount, and I just replace it later.
Big pencils get small, too.
I understand, but it's not as many.
All pencils are created equal.
It's, yeah. The logic in my head now shows that I would have still had to do it.
It's a good thing we're good at band.
Listen, I'm not good at much anymore. But I mean, maybe not even band, but, you know, whatever it is. So, yes.
Oh, good times.
That does make a lot more logic. Because I just thought, oh, these look... Because sometimes I feel like the longer pencils break too easily, too fast. But I thought if it was shorter, it would be more...
Stern.
Sturdy.
Less susceptible to breaking.
Correct. So I thought that that would be a more sustainable
How many pencils do you go... You break pencils?
Yeah, because sometimes I get a little aggressive in my writing.
Like the pencil or the pencil lead?
Both.
Are you okay? Who hurt you?
That's... Don't I- Bruce used to, funny story, Bruce, I think I'm traumatized because Bruce used to have pencils and he's right. And when he would get pissed, he would go click and it would break off and he'd just break it again and do it all the way until it was written. Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. Yeah, it was one of those that was like, So I thought maybe it's like a psychological,
what?
psychological thing that I was like, no one can break this pencil in front of me. Because it's short. You notice I don't have
I was going to say, I just picked up her pencil jar. There's one mechanical pencil in there.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. So anyhow.
You need help.
My Amazon ordering has been off.
Mini pencils.
I'm just saying, minis, I think people would enjoy them. You know. The kids, they have smaller hands.
There's a student sitting in here.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. That. Stop. It's my mistake. I understand.
Hey, no, but these.
Here's the worst part about them. They reset every single time you turn them on. Right?
The funny part is it doesn't even have a brand. It literally says, the only writing that it says is made, or metronome made in China. That's the brand.
I think the brand is.
Oh, no. Me ideal? I don't know.
I don't really think you should try to read that.
It's in English. Oh. Last story. Speaking of Chinese.
What?
No, this is going somewhere. Hold on. Somehow, there
Just
was a newspaper.
Speaking of.
Let me get there. There is this random newspaper in the band hall, in the ensemble room.
Yeah?
And it's pure Chinese.
Is it?
But it's a newspaper. Like, yeah, she knows what I'm talking about. So I, in the middle of a sectional, I pick it up, and I'm holding the thing. I guess you guys can't see me doing this, but I'm holding it, mm-hmm. like, trying to read it as I'm teaching, and I'm walking around looking at this thing. I was like, okay, reset. Everybody, letter A to B. Here we go. And just looking at the thing, and then at one point, a kid goes, you can read Chinese? I was like, yeah. And they're like, what does it say? Well, cabbage and carrots and pickles, and this lawyer's offering her services. And they're like, wow! Not knowing that I was looking at pictures and B, there's pieces of it in English. And I turn it over and there's a picture of the Chinese president. And they're like, really? You can read it? I go, yeah, on this side, the Chinese president was in town the other day. So some child thinks I read Chinese.
Okay.
I think we need to be done for today.
I think so. I think that's really...
We're approaching our time.
Yes. I hope that the beginning of the episode was very informative in terms of cleaning techniques and getting things ready. But the end of the episode is definitely Kim and Rhea's typical day. But yeah, we hope you have a great day.
Yeah.
And we'll talk soon.
Bye.
Bye.